morning again. It is great to see you today. It's a strange thing to be working on a sermon as a storm front moves in, and you wonder, will anyone be here to hear all of my handiwork as I spend my Saturday? But it's great to be together. How many of you shoveled out this morning? Yeah. Some of you are still shoveled in, or I guess. Sorry about that, but it's a blessing that some of us live within walking distance, and some of us are intrepid travelers, and so we'll see what the Lord has for us today. I want to start out today by telling you a story. It's a kind of parable. It's a story about a messenger who was sent by his king on a long journey to a city at the other side of the kingdom. And since the messenger was representing the king himself, he rehearsed his message, the message that the king had given him. He practiced it over and over before he left to make sure he got it correct, make sure he didn't lose any words or have any errors. And so the messenger set out on his journey, and it started out well. At the end of the first day of traveling, he sat down and he rehearsed again the words that the king had told him. He said them over and over so that they would be clear and fresh in his mind. On the second day of his journey, as he traveled, this messenger ran into a young child who was lost and who was begging him to help her find her home. And so he took her by a different route, a roundabout, and brought her to her home and reunited her with her family. But then that night, a little bit behind schedule, he sat down to remember the words the king had told him, and it was a little bit less fresh, a little bit less correct. So the next day, the third day of his journey, the messenger continued on, and he came to a village whose well had run dry. And when he entered the village, the villagers were so weak that they couldn't even go and get help for themselves, and they implored him, "Please, will you go to the next town and arrange some aid for us? Help us somehow." And somewhat reluctantly, he did the right thing, and he went to the next town and arranged that aid. But then that night, when he sat down to remember the words that the king had told him, they were even less clear. And he had lost whole chunks of it in his mind, and he wasn't sure exactly what it had said. And so on it went, day by day, as he traveled through his journey. Every day he would encounter more people in need, and because he was such a decent person, he continued to do the right thing and to do what he could to help them. But every night, when he would go to sleep, he was so worried because he felt that he was losing some pieces of that message every day. And finally, he arrived in the city that he had been sent to. He arrived to the governor's palace, and he was stricken by fear because he knew in his heart that he did not remember the message that he had been sent to deliver. And he knew that the punishment for failing in this mission could be severe. And so he presented himself to the governor, and he told the governor his story. And he apologized profusely and said, "I'm so sorry that I allowed myself to be distracted. I'm so sorry that I got off track and sidetracked and all these side things. I knew I had the mission, and I knew I had the message, but I lost it along the way, and I'm here to confess." And the governor, hearing his confession, reached out his hand to the trembling messenger. "Stand up. Don't worry. You weren't the only messenger. The same day that you left, the king also dispatched another messenger, one who was not gifted in memory and perception. This one had a written copy of the exact same message that you were given. And he arrived here days ago and brought it to me. This is what it says. My dear governor, there is great suffering in the land, but our people's hearts are hardened. I must find someone with eyes to see, with a will to respond, and courage to share the pain that is about on the land. I need someone to serve as my representative. Pray tell me, if you have such a person, please send him to me at all speed, for the time is short and the responsibility is heavy." The messenger looked up in confusion, and the governor said, "Until you arrived, I had no such person to send. But now I know that you are the one that the governor, or that the king needs. Return at once to your king and continue in royal service." Let's pray. out of all nations and all peoples. We pray that your Spirit would be upon us as we gather in this place. Help us to see through history and context, through words and through images. Help us to know more of who you are and what you would have us do. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. We'll get back to that parable at some point. Most of you know, my younger brother Tim is serving in the Army, the U.S. Army in Iraq right now. He joined the Army a few years ago, and he spent a year at the Defense Language Institute, which is in Monterey, California. And it's called the DLI. And there, while he was there, he studied Arabic language and culture. And after graduating with honors, my brother went on from the DLI to further training, specialized training in Iraqi Arabic in particular. And all of this was part of his preparation for the deployment that he's on right now. So, based on all of his training, all the things that he's done, my brother is pretty much the most expert person that I know in Iraqi Arabic. Maybe he's the most expert person you don't know in Iraqi Arabic. And I was chatting with him the other day online. The Army base that he's in Iraq right now has a communication center, and they have computers set up, and so you can communicate through the internet with people who are there. It's a much better way to do war than in the past. And I was chatting with him, and I asked him, you know, Tim, are people really impressed with you that you can speak Arabic, that you can speak Iraqi Arabic, and here you are on this mission? Because it's something that impresses me and may impress you as well. And he told me, no, they're not impressed at all. What do you mean? And he said, well, there's all these other people here who've been here much longer than I have, who have had so much more experience in talking with Iraqis and interacting with them and learning their culture, that their language skills are far superior than mine, to mine, and they are much better. They're much more of an authority on the subject. And so even with all of Tim's training and his high honors and his specialty, even with all of that, he is not the one who's in a position of authority. Rather, it's those translators who have had more experiences with the people. It's this personal experience working in the country, rather than the level of training that one has, that gives authority to translators in Iraq. And in our passage from Galatians today that Keith read, the Apostle Paul is making much the same argument as my brother was sharing with me. He's saying that his credentials as an apostle are not based on something that he was taught by someone else, not based on the stamp of approval or a rank and insignia that he received from the other apostles, Peter or James or John. Instead, Paul is claiming that his direct and personal experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus is what authorizes him to speak. It's what gives him his authority, this direct personal experience. He says, God called me through his grace and was pleased to reveal his son to me. The revelation, this appearance of Jesus to Paul on the road, was something that happened to him, and it was this experience that changes Paul's life, and it sets him out for his mission to the Gentiles. A big part of Paul's message throughout the New Testament, and certainly here, is tied up with his personal experience, his personal story. You probably remember the story about how Paul, who was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, he was a very zealous young man, and he had received a mission to go and root out all the Christians who were living in that town and to bring them back chained to Jerusalem. And it was on this mission of persecution that Paul was riding along when he was suddenly blinded by a flash of light. And he heard a voice that said to him, Saul, Saul. That was his name back then. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The blinded Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. This dramatic experience was what changed Saul into Paul and changed this person's life forever. It was his personal experience of the Lord that gave him the authority to speak later on. Bible scholar Charles Kuser says that what happened to Paul did not mean that he had received new information that nobody else had, but rather it meant that the veil which had hidden God's Son, Jesus, from Paul was removed, and now Paul sees him clearly. This revelation to Paul changes his life, and it's this thing that happened to him that leads to his commissioning and all that God will do through him. In this first chapter of Galatians, there's some Greek words that Paul uses, and it's enemoi. Enemoi is a Greek that he uses. It's a Greek preposition that means to, essentially to, as in that God revealed His Son to me. Enemoi, to me. But the same phrase in Greek can also correctly be translated as in. That preposition could be to or in, as in God revealed His Son in me, or in my life, through my life. The way that I live is the way in which God reveals His Son. You see how this functions in both ways. It's a delicious ambiguity in the text that doesn't necessarily come in our English, but it's there nonetheless. Think about that. What if the way that we lived our lives was the way that God revealed Jesus to the world? That if God was pleased to reveal His Son to us, God might also be pleased to reveal His Son through us. As believers, we are called. Our call is both inward, to receive the gospel to us, and also outward, to allow the gospel to flow through us into a world in need. One of the most important aspects of exhibiting this gospel, or allowing the gospel to move through us, is the effect that it has on those who hear it, the way that it can encourage others in their faith. Paul says that when he first started living so that Christ might be revealed through him, that others heard about it and rejoiced because of him. There were some churches which later came to know Paul, the Apostle Paul, the author of the New Testament. But at first, they didn't know him. They had never read any of his letters. They had never met him. He had never visited as a guest preacher. And yet they heard this rumor. They heard this story, and that the one who was once persecuting them was now proclaiming the faith that they shared. It says that they gave thanks and rejoiced to God because of him. A few weeks ago, our church here, Providence Presbyterian, found out that we won an award. You probably have already heard about this. It was an award for a story that was written by Elder Judy Babcock about what God has been up to and has been doing here in this place. And it was a story contest that highlighted the way that we're growing as a multicultural community as we grow together in faith. And our story apparently was great. We won first prize. And along with first prize, we actually won $1,000. So we're trying to figure out how to use it. It's pretty exciting. And this is really good news, isn't it? It's good news to us. We won this award. There's great things going on. It's good news to us. But the best thing about this good news